Well, I am very honored today to speak to a full house of wonderful people who are, for the most part, very knowledgeable in the scriptures. That's why I'm comfortable to speak to you about what I'm going to speak to you about. And I'm going to try to speak slow because I am, yep, there you go. I speak low. And besides that, I have this New York Rican accent. So I'm going to have to slow down because I want you to understand what I'm saying. But I'll be speaking on a topic which needs to be studied and taught, but not practiced. It's about the wrath of God. So to set the stage, I want to read first chapter of Romans and verse 18 so that we can set the stage for this on profound and serious truth. Romans 1:18 says like this: "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So this section is about a very unpopular subject of the wrath of God. But it is critical and central to any understanding of the gospel of God. Now, there are a number of different aspects of the wrath of God. I'm going to just name a few. Number one, the eternal wrath of God. Eternal wrath of God. This is the eternal damnation of unbelievers. This will happen. The second is the eschatological wrath, which is the wrath released at the end of the world. This is also spoken by the prophets and by Jesus Christ himself in the Gospels. And if you go to the Old Testament, the prophets spoke about this too. Then we have the cataclysmic wrath. Tsunamis, earthquakes, volcanoes, the Twin Towers, remember? These are cataclysmic reflections of the judgment of God. The loving God that most of the world speaks about in a manger, it's not the Jesus Christ that is today. He still has love, and he did what he did for humanity. Then we have the consequential wrath, the sowing and reaping of the actions of men. These actions do produce judgment. For instance, epidemic of AIDS, because of the actions of men and women. Sex with whoever they want. All kind of crazy stuff happened. And this revolution happened, it started way back in the beginning, but in the United States, we saw it the most part in, I think, late 60s to early 70s, this sexual revolution. But there's another kind of wrath presented in this passage that I just read, which is the wrath of God when he gives society over. And this happens. Or he turns his back on society. He did that with Israel. And if you read Exodus 20 and verse 13, it says God poured out fury over Israel. And he will return in that way. This will happen also on individuals. And a good but tragic example of this is the great and mighty Samson. And let's read that in Judges chapter 16, and we'll read verses 18 through 21. And I'm going to jump quick because I want to, you know, leave time for my brother who's going to speak next. Because I don't want to get in his way. You'll find out why when he gets up here. Okay, verses 18 through 21. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, this is about Samson, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more. He has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with their silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, "Hey, Samson, the Philistines are coming. They're upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free," because he was a strong man. But what he did not know is that the Lord had left him. God does that. He will leave an individual, he leaves society. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They set him to grinding grain in the prison, the worst job they gave him. That was the worst thing they would give anyone. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. So this is the aspect of God's wrath that I would like to talk about today. So the title of the sermon that I'm going to speak to you about is I titled it "Life on Death Row: The Reprobate Mind." Because that's a death sentence, that type of mind. So what I'm going to do today, "Life on Death Row: The Reprobate Mind." See, "Life on Death Row: The Reprobate Mind." That's the title. And Romans 1:28 says like this: "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient." You see that in society today. And 2 Timothy 3 and verse 8. I'm going to be going on these, jumping on them quick, but you could write them down and you know, follow through. "Now, as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." This could be talking about maybe Christians, because reprobating the faith. We're the ones that know about the faith, or worldly Christians even. And Stanley last week, he brought a good scripture. You know, they have a zeal for God, but without knowledge. That can easily run into the reprobate mind also. So people today are easily deceived because they have their minds darkened by flawed thinking, or a reprobate mind again. Only God and the Holy Spirit can illuminate these flaws to correct them. How many remember as kids, when I was in school, a kid, and we used to be playing around and the teacher was writing something on the board, and we dropped a book or did something, turn around and blame the kid that wasn't doing anything? I didn't do that, but my friends did. But then the innocent kid gets punished and I get away with it. What is wrong with that picture? Flawed reasoning. Simple minds just respond without facts. So today we can apply that scripture concerning reprobate minds. We can apply that to what we see predominating in society today. So what I'm going to do, I am going to try to describe what is a reprobate mind. and why it is important that we know about it, because we can easily fall into this trap without knowing it. Because the pull of this society, the pull of the news media, the pull of this, the way of life, can easily grab us without knowing. People who are not interested in God's truth are those people who have a reprobate mind. They live for and promote lies. We see that. This stems from the flawed reasoning which has been with us since the Garden of Eden. The first lie that was told was there. God said, you cannot eat of none of the trees, the fruit of the trees. God did not say that. He said, of the fruits of the trees you can eat, but this one don't. Satan lied to them and fooled them. After you bite into the lie, mental confusion sets in and flawed thinking skills take over. And people today are experts in flawed thinking. Oh, they know how to do it. See it in the news, everything that's going on today. Erroneous deductions cause lack of discernment. And then what we do, we invite punishment. This type of thinking continues until death. A person with a reprobate mind will be that way until they die. Unless the person sees the light and ceases to resist the truth, then God will change them. Because remember, that scripture said, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And when God gives you over to something, let me tell you, there's no one that can get you out of it but Him. And if you stay in that state of mind, you're on death row, because it's deadly. So the lesson of Eden is this, of the Garden of Eden. The guilty one accuses the other of what he or she is guilty of. A person that lies poisons their own mind, and they don't even realize it. They don't even realize that their mind is poisoned because they have a reprobate mind. They, most of the time, they know what is right by nature, naturally. But still, because they have a reprobate mind, they believe their own lies and they deceive themselves like Satan did. Satan is so good at deception that he has deceived his own self, because he thinks he's going to beat God. He thinks he's going to win because he deceived himself. Reprobate mindsets are seriously affecting the world right now. How are they doing that? They're destroying the values of truth, right over wrong, and Christ over evil. Reprobate minds promote agendas that are damaging to the future of nations through demonic politics. That's how they're doing it, because it's a worldly thing. This is Satan's world. Everything that comes on a nation begins from the top. These people are so persuasive that they even deceive some Christians who are swallowing up these lies as truth by not discerning the hypocritical and malicious intentions behind it. This is a serious thing, my brothers. People with damaged minds are always quick to accuse others, and they are influenced by Satan, who is the accuser of the saints. These people are false witnesses. They judge without facts. They will not have the facts. They will judge you by emotion. It's dangerous. Or worse yet, they distort the facts and truth. They are false witnesses according to Exodus 20:16, which says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." This is predominant, very predominant today. People who do not allow others to reply when they are wrongly accused are committing this offense. I've spoken to people who want to debate me about issues, about the Sabbath, about the world affairs, and they will not let you speak. They will interrupt, they will interject, they will not move back and let me hear what your perspective is. Let me hear what you have to say. They don't do that because they're afraid of the truth, because they want to believe the lie. Now, had this been in the day of Moses, most politicians today would be dead. Because in the time of Moses, death is what the punishment was for lying and deceiving. But the era today, and remember that at the time of Moses, in them days, when God punished the nation, he did it physically. He killed people. He would destroy a city like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah, bring plagues, all kind of stuff. He still do some of those things. But the error is that people today often choose to be lazy and simple-minded in their judgments and deductions. They choose to be lazy. They don't search out a matter. They hear what I told you, and then they run with it and told the other guy, "Nefti said this when I said a lie." And then everybody else will believe it, and that's, it goes like that. But you know what? Only fools, according to God's word, in Proverbs, love to argue and put others down without knowing the facts. Let's go to Proverbs 1 and verse 22. "How long, you simple minds, will love some simplicity, and the scorners or accusers delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" These people with a reprobate mind, they hate the truth and they hate knowledge. They don't know anything. Society today has become insane. I mean, really insane. If you're watching, you can see that society is insane. But now, here's the sad part about this. And I have to say it, and I hate to, and I don't want to say it, but we observe more and more Christians are becoming simple-minded because they lack education on the matters that are going on today, and lack the knowledge in God's word also. The Bible says, "Watch and pray." When I came into the church, to the church of God, I found out what it meant to watch. Pray is easy, but to watch, I learned what that was. People, most Christians today are not watching. They are being sucked in by the agenda that's coming through the tube, through the media, and crooked and demonic politicians. Many Christians unfortunately open their Bibles, talking about, in general, people who call themselves Christians. They lack spiritual depth or depths, and that keeps them simple-minded. They're in danger of forming and expressing opinions that are the world of the world and not of God. And this is the mind that's reprobate. It's deadly. Anyone can be deceived on issues at hand, whether they are church matters or national matters, and be unaware of the truth that God wants to reveal. But the Bible says that we are to have the mind of Christ. And if we have the mind of Christ, there needs to be a singleness of thought, singleness of purpose, and singleness of how do you answer a question or about an issue in the church or national. We all should answer the same. We should not answer the questions the same way the world does. Have you been watching the Senate hearings on abortion, which is the biggest issue these days? These people don't even know what a woman is. They don't know how to describe what a man is. The interviewer asked him, "Can you tell me what a man is?" Well, you know, some people identify and they go on with a crazy explanation. And these are highly educated people. But we, the Church of God, must mature and be led by the Holy Spirit. If not, the results are illogical thinking skills and opinions with aggressiveness, which brings division, not unity. Do you recall in the days of Jesus, the self-righteous hypocrites, how they accused Jesus? These were people with extensive biblical knowledge. These were the big boys of the Christian world back in the day. They accused Jesus of a lot of things. And many of them even had demons as they wanted to kill Jesus. These were the people with a lot of extensive scriptural knowledge. So that tells me that it doesn't matter who you are. You could be bringing sermons. You can be a minister. And if we're not careful, we can become reprobate in our thoughts, in our thinking. Because Satan has no respect. He's after us. He's got the world out there. They're already insane. He wants some of us to start being insane also. See, these people accuse Jesus of having Beelzebub, who was the demon that represented all kinds of evil. They accused Jesus of being demon-possessed when it was them who were demon-possessed and had the spirit of Beelzebub because they wanted to kill Jesus. They had reprobate minds. They thought they were right. We in this country have been big victims of terrorist attacks. Anyone can tell you that because remember the towers? And these attacks come from without, from outside of the country. Now, it was Abraham Lincoln who said, and I'm paraphrasing probably, a nation is not destroyed from within, from without, but it's destroyed from within, and that is the truth. You know why? We're seeing that today. But these terrorist attacks, we have dealt with them. We've taken care of them. But the most devastating terror attacks come from within. The school shootings, people go into a restaurant and they start shooting people. But the most tragic terror attacks are not by the Muslims. The most devastating terrorist attacks on America come from the Supreme Court of the United States. That's where the attacks are. First, by the legalization of abortion. That is tragic, and God hates it. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Millions of babies are being slaughtered, destroying motherhood. Mothers now are called birthing people. They're changing. They're trying to change everything because they feel that some men can give birth. Now, you're talking about insanity. That's insane. And I hear them saying that. I'm not making this up. These people, I don't have a TV at home set up, but I go on YouTube and I listen to these interrogations. And these people are insane. And to the point that it gets me angry. And this anger, I believe, is righteous indignation. You know, because I don't hate them, but what the things they say, they just blow my mind. Now, these are people who have been nominated to high offices. They are the most insane. They cannot define the genders. The blood of these babies are crying out for divine vengeance, and they will get it. Number two, the legalization of same-sex marriage. Now, they have not only destroyed motherhood, but they are destroying the family. You have two men bringing up kids. I don't know which one is the mother, which one is the father. So I could imagine what that child, how his mind is, how confused that. That's total child abuse right there. But it's being sanctioned by the Supreme Court of the United States of America. There's no bomb of physical attack on this country that can come close to this evil terrorism. Our country is being terrorized by the most responsible to protect it. They are the ones terrorizing us. They are the ones passing laws, enacting laws that protect these insane people, that if I want to be called a woman and you call me a man, I can sue you. Some even want to identify as animals. Really, I've seen that too. I saw like a 30-year-old man with a beard in a baby crib with Pampers because he identified as an infant. And I don't know if it was his wife or his mother was attending to him. They gave him the bottle and everything because he was a baby. I think if the mother said, my son is going insane. He's saying he's a baby and he's 30 years old. And you're calling him, you're not calling him a baby? You're in prison. That's what they do. It's sad. The reprobate mind has usurped the authority that belongs to God. God is the creator of life, the creator of marriage and family. And this nation is in rebellion towards God. And God has turned his back on it. I strongly believe that. Because if you see what's happening around us today, God has left this country. We're going down. Look at the cost of living. I used to usually go out for breakfast in the mornings, and I remember having a regular breakfast for a certain price. The way the prices have gone up is insane also. This nation has rebelled against God, his nature, his holiness, and his holy law. Therefore, God has given them over to their own devices. You want to do this? You want to go do things without me? You want to call yourself a woman when you're a man? Yes. You want to change your natural parts? Go ahead and do it. Be clowns. He will let you do it. I think that is the worst punishment that God can give someone. But all we need to look is at our society. Our children are now property of the government. Now the schools are teaching these kids pornography. They have these kind of evil people. I seen a guy that's dressed like a woman, lipstick and everything, to teach kids, you know, reading books to them. That's insanity, and the parents don't know that. Thank God my kids are not in school today. I would be involved in that. Against it, I mean. It has turned this way by a collection of sinful hearts. And I tell you, God has been gracious to this nation. He's been very good to us. He has given us good leaders. They are not perfect. None of them are because they haven't been called. But they're good leaders who want the best for the people, not for themselves. Because for the most part, people in high places have no worries. Everything for them is free. They don't care what we got to go through, paying high dollar for gas, the cost of living. They haven't made. Yet, They're still ripping us off. These people are the ones that will destroy any leader that steps up and fights for the people. This is what they will do to them. They will misinterpret them. They will misquote them. They will destroy them. They will assassinate their character. They will attack their families, and they will even try to kill them. How about Kavanaugh? A while back, someone went to his house trying to kill him because they're overturning Roe versus Wade. Mothers who are representative of the highest form of love, fighting for the right to kill their babies. That is the depth of insanity in this country. A mother killing her baby. I mean, I'm a father. Boy, and anyone, I mean, at the time we touch any of my kids, they will bring out the worst in me. But today the mothers want the right. They call it unplanned pregnancies. How could that be unplanned? Unless it was a rape or any other thing, but nonetheless, no one has a right to take the life of a baby. How are you going to punish the victim for what the criminal did? That's what this country wants. Now, the Supreme Court put down Roe versus Wade, but they gave the state, you know, the right to, and some states are evil. They have evil leaders, and they will kill the children. Oh, I can't kill my kid here. I'm going to go down the next state. That is the saddest thing in the world. Now, to conclude, I want to read another portion of scriptures in Romans 1, verses 29 through 32. And the reason I'm bringing this up, my friends, is because we're not exempt from this attack on the mind if we don't watch it. We need to be studying the scriptures, trying and doing the best we can to learn the mind of Christ, to have the mind of Christ. Because when you have the mind of Christ, you will be able to judge matters righteously. Not by emotions, but righteously. The problem is some Christians are not doing these things. They're against abortion, but what they're doing, they're voting those criminals into office. Lack of spiritual depth. Romans 1, verse 29 through verse 32. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil, and they are experts at that. They disobey their parents. Kids nowadays, I mean, they even hit their parents. They disrespect their parents. Don't you tell me what to do, because I'll call and put you in jail. No wonder we have so much crime out there. I would be in jail if my kids were born today. Oh, yeah. I would put the discipline on them. My son can tell you. And I was not abusive. But I had a strong grip on that, because they were in school and they came home and they would tell me things that other kids told them. And I had to instruct them and tell them, you know. So it happens in the schools. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. They will do you wrong and sleep well the next night. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death. See, they know this. They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. We need to understand again that if we're not careful, we could fall in the mentality of this worldly society. The word God is not to be mentioned. They cannot even say God. They say, oh, you know, the thing. That's an insult to God who created us. That gets me angry. The pull is so strong that we really need to be careful, and especially now, because we're getting close to the end. And these things are going to happen because it's been predicted in the Bible. So all we can do is pray that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ could shine on some of this insanity that's going on. So brothers and sisters, let's be aware of the reprobate mind. Have a great Sabbath.
Good job on that, dude.